Father, would you bless the words that I speak? Would Jesus Christ be glorified and the Holy Spirit be at work in our hearts and in our minds? In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, right before Christmas arrives in a few days, we're looking at Easter again. We're looking at the resurrection. And we close our sermon series looking through this vital creed of the church, our statement of faith, with the words, I look for a resurrection of the dead. We look for our own hope that we should pass the time before us gazing at the resurrection. Verses 51 to 52. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. We all live in hope of a resurrection of the dead. Should we pass away and our mortal bodies perish, we will rise again in immortality. But Paul tells us here that Christ might come before then. Some of us will not be asleep, as Paul says. We will be awake when Christ comes and the last trumpet sounds. So we must be ever ready for him coming in power. But whether we perish first or we're there at the last day, we will all be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. We will take off the imperishable and put on the imperishable. And this mortal body will put on immortality when the perishable puts on the imperishable and the mortal puts on immortality. The promises of God are fulfilled. And so we as Christians, according to our creed, are to look. We are to look onwards for the watching of the resurrection. We are to be watchmen looking out for the first rays of sunshine coming over the hill in the morning. I believe now the days are going to start getting longer, so we won't have to wait quite so long till we see those rays of sunshine. We are to look for the resurrection as we are dogs looking for our master coming down the drive. My dog sits there in the windowsill for hours on end waiting for me to return. And then there I am coming down the drive and she's so excited like she'd never seen me before. That excitement, that joy, that anticipation is how we are to look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come, the fulfillment of all our longing. And so we look longingly. But why? Because it's a great joy and hope, the resurrection before us. In this life, each one of us struggles with sin. The sin that mars our souls, which weighs us down, which brings condemnation when we don't know the peace of Christ. The great burden that we carry through sin. In this life, we all struggle with sorrow. Sorrow at things that we could have done or should have done or wanted to do and no longer can. Sorrow at the loss of loved ones or sorrow at the state of the world and our families and our friends. We struggle with sorrow and grief all the time. And we also struggle with sickness. We struggle with sickness. Whether it's the winter flu that spoils your Christmas or it's the slow aging process. As life becomes harder and harder for us to live. We struggle with sin, sorrow, and sickness. But the resurrection is what brings healing to all of those things. It's the thing which sets us free. I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For a trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body of sorrow and sin and sickness must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, thanks be to God for the victory through Jesus Christ. There was an Anglican minister in the 1800s called Robert Hawker, who wrote a fantastic set of commentaries on the whole Bible. And they're very dear to my heart, not just because they glorify Jesus so much, but because they're called the poor man's commentary. And being a poor man, I can relate to these very well. And he had these words to say about this song of triumph that Paul moves into in this passage. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? Robert Hawker says this: the song of triumph with which Paul closes this most blessed chapter is what all true believers in Christ, with equal joy, are called upon to join in. And while we sing them, because all our triumphs are in Christ, let no one forget that they are the Lord's own words, proclaimed in a way of covenant promise, and which Paul taught of the Lord has converted into a hymn of praise as God's promises in Christ, which are all yes and amen. Oh, for grace to join the holy song. Christ has destroyed death by his death. He has taken out the sting of death, which is sin, and by taking it away, the healing the wounds of sin by his body. Acquitted now, there can be no condemnation then. When a redeemed believer dies, he dies in Christ and to Christ and is one with Christ. Jesus speaks, "Fear not, I have the keys of death and hell." What a powerful thing to think of these words. Our triumph in Christ, our hope in Christ. Let our yes come as a thanks be to God for victory. We've spoken a lot about the resurrection, as I said, in these past few months, but perhaps not so much about what our response should be to the truth of the resurrection, and indeed what our response should be to the entirety of this creed through which we've been working, the summary of the sum of our faith. What should be our response to the resurrection and all that it entails? Paul ends this chapter on the resurrection with verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labour is not in vain. What does hope, trust, faithful looking longingly for the resurrection do in our lives? Well, let's think about the words of the creed. I look for the resurrection of the dead. Death is not to be feared. So live boldly, live courageously, such as would make the world and non-Christian friends shake their heads. Be willing to go into danger and discomfort for Christ. like the Christians during the Black Death who were the ones who stayed in the city to care for those with the plague, while everyone else just fled away to the countryside. Like the Christians who went into war zones and set up the first war hospitals to serve both the enemy and their own. Like the Christians who went on mission around the world to places where the gospel was not welcome and death may indeed follow. Be willing to do what Christians have always done and simply tell the name of Jesus to your friends, no matter what it is that they might say in return. We look for the resurrection of the dead, and therefore we do not fear death. But we also look for the resurrection of the dead and hope of life everlasting. Life everlasting. If you're living your best life now, you're going to hell. That's the reality. If this is your best life, not the life to come, your life to come must be pretty miserable indeed. This life, even if it were to stretch for 102 years, is but a blip, a momentary passing thing in light of the everlasting life that is to come. It matters immensely what we do with Christ in this life. But don't trick yourself into thinking this life is all that there is. Instead, live sacrificially, knowing that now is not everything. There is so much more in store. As we come to Christmas, I always make the same mistake. I open my stocking and my presents, and there's chocolate and there's sweets and all those sugary delights. And I say to myself, Christmas dinner isn't for another 3 hours. I can fit some of those in my large stomach. And so I eat a few and a few more. And then it comes round to Christmas dinner, which is so much greater because you've got pigs in blankets, which are basically top of the food chain of greatness, and Yorkshire puddings and all of those things. And there I am looking like a fool, stuffing myself with marshmallows and chocolate beforehand. Don't do that with your life. Live sacrificially now, looking for the life everlasting, which is so much greater and so much more rewarding than what we have here right now. Be willing to sacrifice in the present for the glory that is to come. And this is all summed up in that verse 58 I just read. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. How wonderful that Paul starts this by saying, beloved brothers. Not now then, mates, but beloved brothers. Living in light of the resurrection hope binds us together as believers and gives us such great intimacy and love for each other because Christ so loved us. Let us live now today as beloved brothers and sisters who are steadfast. It's a good word, steadfast. It just sounds steady. Steadfast, immovable. Steadfast and immovable in what? In the faith. Paul started this chapter talking on the resurrection by saying this. Chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preach to you, unless you believed in vain. In what do we stand steadfast, immovable? In the gospel through which we are being and have been saved. And we stand steadfast, in doctrine, in the whole revealed teaching of God. That's why we've done this sermon series on the basics of the faith in the Creed. It's why I did a course on the Heidelberg Catechism, that we would stand steadfast on the basic teachings of the Church. And we would also stand immovable in the face of the world and flesh and the devil, and all its lies about what is good, even when Christ calls it evil. Whether that's about sexuality, or abortion, or how we should spend our money, or what our priority should be in our lives. We must stand steadfast and immovable. At home, at work, in the church, even in the pub. Will we stand steadfast and immovable, trusting in the resurrection and life everlasting? Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. That word abounding, it also means to excel. Always excel in the work of the Lord. Do it above and beyond. Be excellent. Dedicate your life to serving and glorifying God with all that you have. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, with all of your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. Seek to be excellent in all that you do for Christ. Do it with love and build up the church through what you do. Now that's a high ask. That's a high ask indeed, because we all know that we're not excellent. And we often fall and we often stumble and we're often not steadfast and immovable. So how does Paul conclude? Knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Seek to excel, but trust in the Lord for growth, that he will use your gifts, that he will use your offering, that he will use your life, such as it is. However much you struggle and strive and fail and fall, don't be disheartened at seeing failure or loss or opposition when you preach the gospel, when you love others sacrificially. Instead, trust in the Lord for the growth, because his word does not come back empty. So make verse 58 your watchwords in the coming years. Intimacy, steadfast and immovable in the faith, abounding, excelling in the work of the Lord, and resting, trusting that he is the one in charge, who picks us up and loves us and forgives us when we fall. Because death is swallowed up in the victory of the cross and resurrection. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you promised to us resurrection bodies free from sorrow, sickness, and sin. Whether you come before we die or after, this is our promise to which we hold. Help us, Lord, to live our lives in light of this promise, serving you and glorifying your name, trusting in you for the growth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.